What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Friday, October 25th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And first, happy Friday, everybody. The weekend is here. The Eagles are 2 days away. What a good week it was, too. The weather was beautiful. No Eagles drama. Obviously, the Sixers are devastatingly depressing, but outside of that, a pretty good week. And so I'm excited to talk to you guys about what to keep an eye out for today as we head into the weekend. Eagles-Bengals, big game, man. Can't wait to get down to Cincinnati. This is a really good litmus test for the team. Again, I don't think they have to win the game, but if they can go there and compete with the Bengals or win that game, I think people are going to be even more excited than they have been off of these two wins that, let's be honest, people have not been impressed with, but two good wins nonetheless. So let's get into it because I got a lot of stuff I want to play for you guys today. And I want to get into really the most exciting kind of aspect of this game, which is AJ Brown and Devontae Smith versus Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Obviously, AJ and Devontae won't be covering Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, but we will get into the Eagles secondary versus Ja'Marr Chase and Devontae and see if they'll be able to slow down what has been one of the best, you know, most dangerous passing attacks or receiver duos in the league this season. But first, let's start where we always do with what is on the schedule today. Today is the last day of Eagles media availability for the week, which means we get to hear from Nick Sirianni again. Nick Sirianni scheduled to speak to the media at 11:40 this morning. As always, no real injury updates from him. He doesn't really give them, but it'll be interesting to see what he has to say. Obviously, last time he talked, he had that big coughing attack. So hopefully he doesn't need a glass of milk, or at least offered a glass of milk this time. But yeah, Nick Sirianni at 11:40 a.m. At 12:30, practice begins. Again, as always, an opportunity to see who's out there, who's practicing and who's not. And then 1:40, open locker room. Chance to get some quotes like the ones I'm about to play for you guys from AJ Brown, Darius Slay about the upcoming game. The injury report. So the Eagles did practice on Thursday. Obviously, it'd be weird if they didn't practice. Did not practice. Mekhi Becton, concussion. Dallas Goedert, hamstring. Byron Young, hamstring. Limited, Eli Ricks with a groin injury. And then full participant, Saquon and Brandon Graham, who rested the day before. Darius Slay, who rested the day before. Josh Sweat, rested the day before. Albert O, Anaya Smith, both full participants. And then the exciting one for Eagles fans, Zach Bond, full participant with the shoulder injury that he suffered last week against the Giants. So it looks like he will play. Looks like Zach Bond will play on Sunday against the Bengals. Zach Bond has been good for the team this year. And I also think as a team starts to put momentum together, and that's not going to be happening the offensive side of the ball, but on the defensive side, to have all 22 star, or not 22, to have all 11 starters play on that side and to have all your key players available, that's a big deal. So as they continue to get more and more reps together, especially going up against a really good offense, having Zach Bond there is going to matter. So good news from the injury front. Obviously, outside of Mekhi Becton and Dallas Goedert, who I don't expect to play on Sunday, either of them. So I think you'll see Tyler Steen starting in Mekhi Becton's spot. And then Dallas Goedert, obviously his reps will be taken once again by Grant Calcaterra and Jack Stoll. So in other news, non-injury news, I saw a stat on Thursday that I thought was surprising. So there's been so much talk this year about the Eagles secondary, and a lot of it is focused around Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, and rightfully so. The rookies have had really good starts to their career. Quinyon has been outstanding. Cooper DeJean, in just the two games he's played, has been really, really good. So I understand why the focus would be there. And often when we talk about Darius Slay on this pod, it is about something he said, whether it's on the Micah Parsons pod, whether it's something he tweeted, whether it's just him shaking hands with an opponent after the game or smiling with somebody. Like, people, like, there's a portion of fans that get really mad about that. But I saw a stat today that I think is worth sharing. So this is according to Next Gen Stats. The average yards of separation allowed by NFL cornerbacks this year with a minimum of 150 coverage snaps. So you're really talking about the starting level corners in the NFL. Average yards of separation allowed. There is only one cornerback in the entire NFL that is closer to his man or allowing less separation than Darius Slay. And that is Brandon Stevens of Baltimore. And then right there with Patrick Surtain is Darius Slay. Darius Slay this year is allowing 2.1 average yards of separation. Number one, like I said, Stevens from Baltimore, 1.8 yards. So he has been essentially right there with the best cornerback in the league this year. And while I don't think Darius Slay has been like the second best corner in the year, corner in the NFL this year, it is worth noting that in a year where we are really focusing on the young guys, Darius Slay, for the most part, has been really, really good this year. Obviously, he got beat by Drake London for that game-winning touchdown. Bad rep. I'm sure he would tell you that. I will say that is a really, really tough spot. Like one-on-one single coverage, trying to beat someone to the pylon. I mean, that is a borderline impossible rep to win. But Darius Slay gave up that touchdown. So I understand the frustration from fans. But if you look at what he has done this year, according to Pro Football Focus, he is 25th in the league in coverage among corners. That is not top 10, right? But that is a starting level corner. There are two corners that start for each team, really three, since we're going to include Nichols in this. So of like the 100 starting corners in the NFL, roughly, he's 25th. He is 23rd in forced incompletions. We talk so much about how Quinyon has a bunch of forced incompletions, and he does. Like, Quinyon's been awesome this year. I believe he has 7 so far. Darius Slay has 4. So it's not as much as Quinyon, but it's not far behind either. And then Slay, 19th fewest among, he's allowed 14 catches this season. Sorry, I butchered the start of that. Slay's allowed 14 catches this year. That's the 19th fewest among starting corners. So again, among the two starting corners on each team in the nickel corner, only 18 corners have allowed fewer catches than Darius Slay. So what do all these numbers paint? They paint a picture of a cornerback that has been by far a positive for the Eagles this year. We can sit here and debate if he is a top 10 guy anymore, like whatever. That's just all discussions. But what the numbers show is he's been really good for the Eagles this year. He's been a positive for them. So I asked Darius Slay about these stats. I asked him about the stat about the separation. And, you know, also, if you remember last year, he had that knee injury, and a big concern among Eagles fans, and I would imagine, you know, around the NFL, was he's an older player. He was 33 at the time of the surgery, I believe, or maybe 32 at the time of the surgery. But he's bounced back and played really well. So here's what Darius Slay had to say about that stat that I read for you about separation, but also about recovering from that knee surgery and coming back and playing at a pretty high level this year.
Of 12 years, I saw a stat today that you're second in the league in average yards of separation allowed with your guy. So you're like right there with Patrick Sertan.
Yeah.
Obviously 12 years in, you know, the talk is cornerbacks, they drop off a cliff if they get over 30 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, what do you attribute your ability to still play at a high level this late in your
career? I've been doing a great job, man, learning from my veterans when I was young, taking care of my body. And I've been doing that for a long time, man, since an early age. So I wasn't a guy that just used pure talent as a young guy. I always used technique and fundamentals to try to get me by for the longest I can. And that's why you see that I can still play fast and physical. And you know, I look like I'm still a lot younger than I look. But, one thing I know about my game for a long time is, you know, guys make plays. You know what I'm saying? Everybody gets plays. But if you make a play on me, it's going to be great ball, great catch. You know, it's not one of the ones as in, okay, you just wide won't get open. You know what I'm saying? Because I kind of real deal knocked into my details. And I know the position I play, I try to win every battle. But, you know, it's a passing league, offensive league. It's kind of hard to win all of them. But I damn sure try.
You obviously have a lot of confidence. But coming off of that knee surgery last year, was there any worry at all like that late in your career?
None at all. Because I've been needing it. I've been actually, like, my knee was real bad, man. And, you know, so it just needed to get right. And I was still, like, you know, playing at an elite level. So I got on like, man, if I just get this thing here fixed, oh, my goodness. It ain't do no slowdown because I done had that kind of surgery before, you know, early in my career. But, yeah, I kind of healed like a Wolverine a little bit, you know what I'm saying? kind of young still. Never drank in my life, you know, that stuff. So that might have did some justice to me, too. So they don't do no smoking, none of that kind of great stuff like that. So, you know, my body kind of probably different from a lot of folks. So, yeah, I ain't got no beer plug or none of that kind of stuff. Straight six-pack.
Yeah, so as you can hear in there, Slay, as I said to him, he's always someone that's going to play with confidence. And you have to when you're a corner. I mean, I remember covering Jalen Mills. Like, Jalen Mills had a ton of confidence out there on the field. But I think what is lost sometimes about Slay and like the kind of confident, goofy type of like, you know, quotes and stuff is he is putting together an outstanding career. And honestly, I can't speak to, you know, what Hall of Fame like corner resumes are right now. I'd have to take a deeper dive. But he is putting together a career where he can definitely sit and go. He was one of the best corners in the NFL during his time playing. So as much as the podcast interviews can annoy people, and as much as he's not viewed sometimes as like serious enough, the results speak for themselves. And to have a knee surgery at 32 years old, come back and still play at a really, really high level, you don't get that if you're this like carefree guy that he's sometimes painted at. Yes, I know in the locker room he brings that carefreeness, and that's important, but he is an extremely hard worker that has played really good this year. So I thought he deserved a shout out for that, because obviously this week they're going to need him. And clearly going up against Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, there's a shot that this time next week you guys are going, well, Elliott, look, he got lit up. But there's a reason those are great receivers. So the Eagles should feel good going into this game that they have Darius Slay to help with the coverage there. Next up, another stat that was interesting that was talked about in the Eagles locker room today because he was asked about it. A.J. Brown. This is a stat according to Victor Williams of the Philly Pod. Shout out to Victor. I've met him on some Fans of Philly trip. Really good guy. Does a good job. A.J. Brown in single coverage this year. So when A.J.'s had single coverage, 16 targets, 16 receptions, 325 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a perfect passer rating when being targeted. So I'll read that back. 16 times he's had single coverage this year. 16 targets, 16 catches, 325 yards, 3 touchdowns, perfect passer rating. I mean, that's obviously outstanding. So AJ was asked about that quote. Asked about that stat, and here's what AJ had to say.
Did you see it? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's like 16 targets, 16 catches in these situations.
It was in man coverage.
Yeah, one-on-one. What do you think when you're getting that type of coverage?
Man-to-man, I want the ball. I want the ball because I'm trying to change the game. You know, a lot of times I'm getting doubled on, or the defense is rotating their coverage to my side, and whenever I get one-on-one, my eyes light up, and I want my quarterback eyes light up too. And I'm trying to make the most of them too, because that don't come too often. So whenever I get the opportunity, I know I got to cash in on it. You know, I'm definitely gonna keep working hard and try to keep that going.
You know, I thought it was interesting in another part of the day where another part of the interview when he spoke to the media, I guess not really an interview, but another part of his press availability today, he was asked about, you know, if a game like this gives him extra juice because it's him and Devontae versus Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. And, you know, obviously it'll be billed as that. And it is an exciting matchup for fans. Like, there'll be some outstanding receivers out there on the field. But he was asked about that, and he basically was like, you know, at this point in my career, it doesn't really do it for me. So, I just thought it was an interesting perspective. I know AJ is someone that watches a lot of receivers around the league. He's very up on, you know, who's viewed as the best, who's all those things. But to kind of put that aside for the game, I thought was an interesting perspective there. So look, we talked about it on the pod. It's no secret that when AJ hasn't played this year, they're 1-2. When AJ has played, they're 3-0. When AJ hasn't played, they're averaging like 20 points a game. When AJ hasn't played, they're averaging like 20 points a game. When AJ has played, they're averaging like 28 points a game. I mean, I think he's the most valuable player on the team. I think if the Eagles could only protect one player on the roster from like an expansion draft, I think there's a good shot that they would pick AJ Brown because he's that important to the team. He's that good. And he really makes that offense go. So yeah, outstanding numbers this year from AJ in single coverage. Speaking of the passing game and speaking of, importance and all those things, Greg Cassell was on, I believe, the Ross Tucker podcast, and he spoke about Jalen Hurts' recent play, and he was concerned about it. So here's what Greg Cosell had to say about what he's seen recently from Jalen Hurts on the field.
They're a difficult offense to watch right now. Jalen Hurts is not playing very good football. They're a running football team. Their defense has played a lot better the last couple of weeks. Now, people can say they beat the Giants and the Browns, and that's fair because those are two of the lesser offenses in the league. But if you just look at what they're doing and how individuals are playing better on defense. But the Eagles can't sustain, if they want to be a true playoff team, they can't sustain the way they played last week. Your quarterback has to be a bigger factor. Jalen Hurts, for whatever reason, Ross, and he's played a lot of football games, and you do them in the preseason, so you're familiar with him. For whatever reason, he's just not seeing things clearly right now. Basic concepts he's not seeing. And that really handicaps and hamstrings your offense when your quarterback just can't execute basic concepts, and that's what he's struggling with right now.
So me and James talked about this earlier in the week. We were referencing Fran Dunphy of PHLY, but yes, I mostly agree with what Greg Cosell is saying. Jalen Hurts, the last 2 weeks, has not played at a level in terms of like moving the ball up and down the field, making the right reads, like all those things. He's not been good enough. Nobody would disagree with that. The passing game has not looked good enough the past 2 weeks. But I do think like it really comes down to what you value. I value a lack of turnovers. And is there an aspect of this where you go, you know what? Yes, he's not turning the ball over, but in his fifth year, we shouldn't be celebrating two games with no turnovers. Yeah, that's absolutely fair. Is it maybe grading him at too low of a bar just to say, hey, you don't turn it over and I'm happy with your play? Yes, it probably is. But ultimately, that's where this team is at. They are 13-1 when Jalen doesn't turn it over and AJ plays. It is what it is. Like when Jalen takes care of the ball, they win. So while I agree with Greg Cosell's assessment, and obviously we know he does a great job breaking down the tape, I think what's being lost a little bit in this idea that Jalen has to be a 300-yard passer and Jalen has to be able to carry him up and down the field is, yes, there will be games when that happens. Could be this Sunday against Cincinnati. It'll likely be in the playoffs, right? But the no turnovers thing is far more important. Like, look how awesome Jalen was in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, obviously, 2 years ago. He was awesome. Tons of big throws, clutch throws. Why did they lose the game? And I know you'll say the defense, but one of the reasons, there was a turnover. If Jalen doesn't turn that ball over, and it wasn't a bad decision. The ball slipped out of his hands. Like, it is what it is. They probably win that game because then they maintain a 10-point lead at that point, maybe even more, as opposed to having the Chiefs go and obviously score on that touchdown. So, yes, there is a component of Jalen's game that needs to be worked on, which is like the pure passing of it, right? But I think we are skipping over something too much recently, which is the no turnover thing. Like, I think Greg Cosell is correct in his assessment, but I can't just be like, no, he hasn't been good enough when he's doing the most important thing, which is taking care of the ball. So look, this will be a discussion we have a lot about Jalen. Obviously this Sunday against Cincinnati will be a really good test for him and, you know, see if he can thread that needle of taking care of the ball while also making enough plays to win the game, which is why it's a really exciting game this weekend. So on the other side, let's talk about not Jalen Hurts. Let's talk about the Eagles secondary against the Cincinnati receivers. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, but they have some other good playmakers as well on that defense. And we'll talk about some of the matchups, how they're going to do it, and what the level of concern should be. So we'll get to that on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, so the Cincinnati Bengals, obviously they enter this game at 3-4. And if you look at them this year, they've lost to the Chiefs, the Commanders, Baltimore, had a bad loss to the Patriots, and then they've beaten the Panthers, the Giants, and Browns. So what to make of them is tough, right? Because they have lost to really good teams besides the Patriots, bad loss, and they've beat up on the bad ones, or at least they have won those games, the Panthers, Giants, and Browns. So they have not beaten a quality opponent this year. At 3-4, they have not exactly like ran even at the current record they have, like they don't have an impressive win. But what is impressive about this team is their offense. They're 10th in points per game. They're 4th in points per drive. They're 9th in third zone in third down offense. They're 8th in red zone percentage, 7th in passing yards, 9th in net yards per passing. And then they don't run the ball well. No question about it. They're not a good running team. But those stats right there that I read to you, 10th in points per game, 4th in points per drive, top 10 passing offense, top 10 in the red zone and third down. That begins with the passing game. The Joe Burrow-led passing game with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins has been outstanding this year. If you look at Joe Burrow, he has arguably been one of the best quarterbacks in the entire NFL this year. Not number one, but Pro Football Focus has him number two. He is like almost 80% of his passes are on target. He has 14 touchdowns to two interceptions. Like, he's not been the problem for them. They've lost games this year because the offense has scored enough points and the defense has let up plays late. So going into the game this weekend, it is absolutely a big test for the secondary to go out there and have to cover Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Joe Burrow, stop them from moving the ball up and down the field. So let's dive into the receivers, what you need to know about them. And look, obviously it starts with who we talked about already. Ja'Marr Chase, one of the best receivers in the entire NFL. This year, he has 48 targets, 39 catches, 620 yards in like seven games. That's wild, almost 100 yards a game. Six touchdowns. And what's really impressive about Ja'Marr Chase is he lines up literally all over the field. There are weeks where we've previewed games and, you know, it's like, oh, he lines up in the slot a little bit. Ja'Marr Chase lines up everywhere. He was lined up 257 times out wide this year and 106 times in the slot. So he is in the slot, you know, 10, 11 snaps a game, a little more than that, maybe like 13, 14 snaps a game. He will go inside. So Cooper DeJean will have to match up against him. And that is definitely a matchup that the Bengals are going to try to expose because Cooper is in his third career start. Cooper, you know, is more of a physical cornerback. And Ja'Marr Chase, one of the best in the NFL. Like, that is going to be a tough matchup for Cooper DeJean. And I know that the Bengals are going to try to exploit it. So they are going to have to be very aware pre-snap where Ja'Marr Chase is, who is on him, what help he has. Like, even against Quinion and Darius Slay, you don't want to have that single one-on-one matchup. But especially with Cooper, you have to go out there and make sure you have some good help on him in one-on-one coverage. Darius Slay asked him today about Ja'Marr Chase, and he compared him, ironically enough, to A.J. Brown. But here's what Darius Slay had to say about Ja'Marr Chase.
I mean, this is skill set, man. You know, he's a real talented receiver, man. He's a guy that could get in and out of breaks. He could do your dirty work. He could catch slants, can go for 80. You know, he could catch go balls, contesting ones. He just the whole complete package as a receiver that you want on your team. So he's very good at what he does, man. And for sure, one of the best ones is Lee. I always had him, you know, early in his rookie year, one of my top five guys. I like to watch and, you know, just like to study on just about receivers because the skill set he has. It's gonna be my first time playing him, but it's gonna be fun, man. You know, it's gonna be fun. Good challenge.
Does he remind you of anyone?
Yeah, look, Slay is correct. Chase is unbelievable. It is going to be a super, super tough matchup. And as I said, not only does he line up on the outside and line up in the slot, he lines up basically even between the left side and right side of the field. So he's not just lining up on the right side and you're going to be able to sit there and go, okay, he's going to be on that side. We can put, you know, whatever. He is on both, like all three corners are going to have to cover him. Cooper DeJean, Quinion Mitchell, Darius Slay. All three corners are going to be matched up against Ja'Marr Chase on Sunday. And with Joe Burrow throwing the ball and an offensive line that is average this year, or, you know, slightly below, slightly above, however you want to view it, like it is a matchup problem for this team. So Ja'Marr Chase, how they cover him, if they give safety help, all those things is really, really important in this game. Now, obviously, we talk about the Eagles receivers a lot, and what makes them a special unit is that if you take A.J. Brown away, which is very hard to do, but if you're able to do it, Devontae is still on the other side. And the Bengals have that same thing going. They have T. Higgins on the other side, 45 targets this year, 29 catches, far fewer yards than Ja'Marr Chase, only 341 yards, three touchdowns. But like Chase, he lines up all over the field. He doesn't go into the slot as much. He only has 49 snaps in the slot this year, 187 out wide. So he is outside on the outside of the field way more than he is in the slot. But on the outside, he lines up basically even between the left and right side of the field. So when the Bengals break the huddle every snap, you're going to have to identify, A, where is Chase? B, who's on what side, who has who. Like, that is one of the tough things of covering the Bengals, is their receivers have so much versatility that you have to spend time pre-snap really diagnosing who is where. It's not like some teams where you know coming out of the huddle, okay, this guy's going to be there. It's where he always is. There's going to have to be some defensive, like, identification of who is where to make sure that they're in a good spot. So, yeah, T. Higgins, Darius Slay was also asked about him, and here's what he had to say.
shoot, make all the aggressive catches, you know, 50-50 balls. He turned them into 80-20 because, you know, his skill set to be able to jump and catch, his body control. He's got better at running routes than definitely because I played him against him when he first got into the league as a rookie when we played him here. He got so much better than he is now. And seeing him growing, being you know, as dominant as he is, you know, he's doing a great job as well.
Along those lines, I guess, what is...
So obviously, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, those are the two guys you talk about, and for good reason. I think they're the second best receiving duo in the NFL. Like, I think there's three clear top receiving duos in the NFL: A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Like, those are the three, in my opinion. And you can order them however you want. But T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase are definitely up there. And look, it's going to be tough. Like I just said, Higgins, physical guy. And so when Slay's up against him, that's a different type of receiver than when you're covering Ja'Marr Chase. And Quinyon, obviously a big test for the rookie against both of them. Now, the other receiver that they have, who has had a pretty good year this year, Andre, and I looked up how to pronounce his name, Yosivas, I believe is how it's pronounced. And I apologize if it's wrong. But Andre Yosivas, 24 targets, 14 catches, 189 yards, 3 touchdowns, and look, he lines up all over too, because if Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins are going to go in the slot, then that slot receiver has to go to the outside. 168 snaps out wide, 157 snaps in the slot. And that really shows you how much they move Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins inside, because they're not moving Andre Yosivas around to get better matchups. They're moving Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins around. And the reason, and then these numbers show that he is going in the slot a fair amount. Now, Yosivas did play the majority of his snaps out wide in 2023, so he's definitely capable of going on the outside and playing like against press man coverage or going up and winning against the perimeter. So they have three really, really good receivers, no question about it. It's going to be a tough matchup. And then obviously tight end Mike Gesicki, 22 targets, 18 catches, 180 yards, 0 touchdowns. Like, not a great year so far for Mike Gesicki, but as we've watched him many years in the NFL, former Penn State guy, we know he's big, he has long arms, he has good speed for a tight end, like just physically a tough matchup for the linebackers, which is why it's big to have Zach Bond back. N'Kobe Dean on Mike Gesicki would be a matchup I think the Bengals would A, try to get, and B, try to exploit if they did get it. So, tough matchup for the Eagles back seven this week. Obviously, one way to make sure that you have a good day against them, get a pass rush. And in yesterday's pod, we talked about how they can get a pass rush against the Bengals. So if you haven't listened, go back and check out Wednesday's Daily Pod, where we broke down the Eagles' pass rush against the Bengals' offensive line. So to everybody out there, thank you for listening. I'm officially excited for the game. Can't wait to watch this one. You know, it's two really good teams, and it's really good test for the Eagles. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And as we always say, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.